Wrestling Digest or the
Love
Feed,
Talk
I guess.
Radio.
Welcome to the Speedy Digest. It's been a while since I posted a show, so I'm sorry about that. But we're joined by Ryan O'Hara, and later on we'll have Joseph Wolkin on, and then after that, Mason Mitchell, and then I think we might have Kyle. I can't say his last name, but we're going to have Kyle coming on to talk a little bit about Pocono Sprint Cup Series testing this past weekend. He was here. And Brian, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty all right. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a long day with everything and all the truck series practice and all that stuff was delayed earlier, but we'll get into that further. And it's been a while since, we've done a podcast together, so, it's kind of interesting tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
But, all right, so I guess we'll get into it right here. NASCAR Canada Truck Series practice was a little bit delayed earlier today at Dover. They were only able to get about 20 minutes of on-track activity, and before rain washed out the entire practice session. And, pretty interesting right there that Kyle Busch was the fastest. But I'm sure it didn't surprise a lot of people. So, starting lineup is Kyle Busch will be starting on the pole because they went by the owner points for the top 30, and then the rest of the 31 through 35 positions was filled in by owner attempts. So, Kyle Busch going to be going for 5 this weekend. And, I think a lot of people are going to be kind of mad about that, don't you think, Ryan?
Yeah, probably. But that's just the way it is.
here recently, it seems like that's become an issue. That's one of those issues that, it comes up and then it kind of goes away and then it pops back up. And, you talk to a lot of these younger drivers, and they like the Cup Series drivers in the series. But, Ryan, what's your thoughts on it? Should they be able to run the series or not?
Yeah, it's their choice. The problem is that if you take away the Cup drivers, a lot of fans come out to see the Cup drivers because some others aren't, they can't afford, other tickets. And so if you take away the Cup drivers, that's a lot of money that you're taking away. And you think about sponsorship, it'd be the dumbest idea ever. And it would backfire on NASCAR.
Yeah, I think so, I personally, I enjoy watching, Kyle Busch and them over in the Nationwide and Truck Series because, many drivers will tell you, and Ryan, we journalists, we're not big enough yet, when we talk to the, drivers like Ryan Ellis, Ryan Blaney, et cetera, like that, they say that they enjoy them. And, I think, if they enjoy it and they don't have a problem with it, then, I think they should let the Cup Series drivers run in the series. It's their series, I can understand when the fans would get mad, but, it is their series. So, if they like them, then, they should have that right to be able to run in there.
I agree. It's just fans complain too much. If it was Dale Jr., they would have no problem. It's the fact it's Kyle Busch, and he's a very he's not a very likable driver at times, and so his attitude kind of plays into it. But that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing we need to discuss here, and this is something that we kind of expected the last couple weeks, and we were waiting for an announcement on for Jeb Burton for rest of the season. Kansas, they went in that event looking for a solid run because they wasn't you know, expecting to probably run at Charlotte the next week, and if they weren't able to find sponsorship, Charlotte would have probably been their final race. But luckily, it was announced earlier this week that States Express Lines would join Jeb Burton for a remainder of the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series season on the number 13 truck. And, you know, a great deal for him. You know, Jeb was one of those drivers who last year was one of the strongest rookies coming into the sport and, you know, had a fantastic season. You know, comes into this year, you know, looking forward to have another successful year, and I'm sure he would have, even if he still was at Turner Scott Motorsports, but right before the season began, just after Daytona winter testing, Arrowhead left him, and unfortunately he had to leave Turner Scott Motorsports and look elsewhere, and then, you know, finally found that ride over at Thor Sport, but, you know, not a solid ride for the rest of the season. And, you know, luckily he was able to find sponsorship for the first four races, but after that, they would have probably been out of that ride. And, you know, Jeb Burton, you know, got a sponsorship this week, so he's good to go for the rest of the year. You know, we saw Jeb Burton, you know, not really be up there, you know, the first race of this season. So do you think now by him securing the sponsorship, you know, that he's in full race mode and don't have to worry about this extra stuff that he had to hold on his shoulders for the last 3 or 4 months?
It really depends. The way the economy is right now, I mean, it's rough for everybody. I mean, when Jeff Gordon lost DuPont, you know, as a primary sponsor, and they took a more, you know, minor role, we were all like, what? Like, what the heck's going on here? I mean, Jeff Gordon had DuPont for, you know, 18, 19 years before DuPont decided to, you know, go on the sidelines just a bit and be an associate sponsor compared to AARP and the Drive Van Hunger. You know, there was talk about Walmart joining Gordon's team. That didn't last very long, but it really depends. I mean, if he performs really, really, really well, then they'll probably, I mean, if it makes a lot of money for the sponsor, then sure. But the thing is, what people don't understand about sponsorship is, you know, you might have something on a car, but you may win a race or two, but, you know, just because you win a race or two does not guarantee success for the business. So if I had, let's use Vagisil as an example. I was trying to avoid using Vagisil as an example, but I'm going to use Vagisil. So let's say Kyle Busch drove the number 18 Vagisil Toyota, and he comes off turn four and he wins like the next five races in a row. Well, here's the thing. Kyle Busch may have won the race, right? But did Kyle Busch winning make more women go to get Vagisil at the store? If that's not the case, then it's not going to be a very good investment. So it depends. But with Jimmy Johnson and Lowe's, people are always going to Lowe's to get home improvement supplies. So that's a huge plus. Plus, you know, if you get a Lowe's card, you get like 5 or 6% off for purchase. That's another thing. But there's certain sponsors that don't make much money off NASCAR. So yeah. I mean, if you're something not related to, you know, home improvement or auto parts or anything, paint, anything related to cars, it's probably not going to be, a good investment. Or home improvement, yeah. I'm thinking sponsors Bucky Burch Show, they're doing okay at the moment. So that'd be another example. But like I said, it just depends who the sponsor is, how Jeb Burton performs, and if people go use the product based off the performance. If they don't, then it's not going to work.
And, you know, as we know, you know, last week, and I was going to get in this title, but we didn't go and get into it. You know, we didn't have a show last week. So, you know, we seen it last week and also with Red Horse Racing where, you know, I mean, yeah, they said that they only had a four-race sponsorship, but, you know, when they announced at the beginning of the season, the press release said a full-time deal. So I don't know if, you know, that sponsor bullet liner got kind of them forming that or what, but well, it seemed like we kind of seen it with Brian Ackler last week as well.
Can you say that again? It kind of came out funny.
Okay, so last week, you know, we didn't have a show, and so Brian Ackler's sponsorship, you know, left them, you know, as a bullet liner, you know, when they said at the beginning of the year about the sponsorship and this truck, that would be a full-time sponsorship deal with bullet liner, but you know, it seems like that they left them because they weren't performing well.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. You know, once again, I mentioned, I don't know how much the sponsor has in assets, but, so, I mean, the sponsor has to make money for the relationship to work out, so part of it is performance, and Brian Ackler wrecked a lot of trucks, unfortunately. So, and last time I checked, not too many sponsors like to see their name all crumpled up week after week. And if it becomes consistent, it really doesn't, you know, help the business. So that's more than likely why they pulled the plug.
Yeah, it was just, you know, it's unfortunate for Brian Ackler, but, you know, there's more to the story than them just closing down that team so they can run two strong trucks for the rest of the year, in my opinion. But, you know, that's a totally different topic for another day. So, all right.
Yeah, I mean, Ackler runs well. I mean, it's just a lot of times he's just in the wrong place for the wrong time, and then he just slams into things. So, that's what happened the last crash, so it's unfortunate for him.
And the next topic also involves a crash, unfortunately. You know, we went over this last week, but we didn't have a show. So NASCAR has downgraded, and this was actually originally reported by Front Stretch, but NASCAR downgraded the license of Truck Series driver Jake Crone for the incident at Charlotte Motor Speedway a couple of weeks ago involving the number 28 truck of Ryan Ellis. Coming down Max Straightway, Jake Crone comes low. He said that he did it so he could get a side draft off the 28 truck. Pretty much, NASCAR said they monitored Crone this weekend at Dover and future races to determine when it might allow them to get back into a track at 1 mile or bigger track. You know, I heard that all Crum had to do was perform well at Dover and they reissue a license for the bigger tracks. But, you know, I think everyone saw the replay of it or saw it live. Ryan, what was your thoughts on this incident?
Well, you know, I kind of laughed, to be honest with you, at Jake Crum's response. I mean, why? He obviously wrecks my purpose. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, I was watching the race. I saw the replay. Like, he slowed down, and then he turned left. Like, if you're side drafting, you don't hit the brakes. That's the first thing. So, yeah, I don't believe any of that.
Yeah, it was Ryan Ellis was mad. I mean, you know, you don't blame him because, I mean, the incident was, you know, in my opinion, was the number 82 fault, and you know, I think he did it on purpose too. You know, unfortunately, we don't get access to the live telemetry for the Truckster Nationwide Series, but I certainly would have liked to see that one because I'm sure it would have been interesting.
Trying to side draft and I just turned my wheel left, and oh no, I just happened to hit Ryan Ellis in the 28 truck.
Yeah, it was interesting deal right there. Okay,
yeah,
well, of course, this hasn't called in yet, so we'll move on to the Nationwide Series news. And this one kind of shocked me a little bit. TuneCore announced that the Finisher's champion Jeff Green would get into the number 14 Hefty Reynolds Rock Toyota Camry for Select Races 2014 season, which is 5 races, and it'll begin this weekend at Dover for the Bucklaw 200 presented by Click-It or Ticket. He will then pilot the car at Michigan International Speedway in June, Mid-Ohio on August 16th, and Richmond International Raceway on September 5th. And his last scheduled appearance in the car will be September 27th, also at Dover International Speedway. So, you know, I thought this was interesting. Not sure if the team decided this or if Eric decided this or what, but it kind of shocked me.
About Reed Sorensen?
About Jeff Green being in the number 14 Hefty Reynolds Wrap Toyota for 5 races.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Click-It or Ticket, because I know Reed Sorensen is going to be sponsored by that at Dover.
Yeah.
And you said who was in the 14? Sorry, it's breaking up just a bit.
It was Jeff Green.
Oh, Jeff Green. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure what to think about that. That's interesting. You know, because, you know, Jeff Green hasn't really, I last heard of him, like, as a legitimate contender, maybe. You can say that, having the occasional good run or two in, like, 2006, but, you know, hasn't won a championship since Nationwide in 2000. I'm actually surprised that anyone, you know, would actually put money forward for that team, just based off their performance.
You know, I mean, McCoy, you know, is one of those really good drivers in the Nationwide Series, but just cannot, you know, they just don't have a good enough equipment for a win. But, you know, I mean, they pull some decent finishes, though, in that number 14 car. And, you know, with Eric being in our hospital the past couple of years, you know, I'm kind of shocked that, you know, they're pulling him out, you know, for 5 races for Jeff Green, you know. But, you know, I've heard previously that Eric is, you know, is looking to possibly just, you know, leave NASCAR and go on with his family stuff and be with his family more. But, you know, hopefully, you know, something goes good for him and he's able to find something soon and see him back in the sport.
Absolutely. You know, another thing I heard about today, Dover Motorsports, I'm saying that it's selling Nashville Super Speedway to Nexavation Incorporated. So that'll be interesting. Of course, Nashville hasn't had a NASCAR race in really a long time. So, you know, it's interesting because the track only sold for $27 million in cash. So, I don't know, maybe with the new owner, you know, NASCAR could return. But, you know, I honestly doubt it.
You know, you bring up a good topic there, Ryan. And yeah, I agree. You know, I'd love NASCAR to go back to Nashville and run the Nationwide Series and Truck Series over there. It was one racetrack where I really wanted to go to, and unfortunately I didn't get the opportunity to go to a race there. But yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully we see it return. You know, Gateway is returning later on this year, in about another month or so for the Kemphill Truck Series. Well, actually, not another month from now, probably about, 25 days or so away, and actually I'll be at that race covering the media, hopefully. But yeah, you know, these tracks coming back to the NASCAR Series, you know, is awesome to see. And hopefully Nashville's another one of them. You know, we need tracks like that come back on the schedule and be, you know, promoted correctly. And I hope that they can get something good out of it and use it more than just a test track. I mean, that place really should come back to the series schedule.
I wish there's a bit that, I mean, I wish there's a lot of tracks that can come back. If Riverside can come back, which is not possible anymore, but that'd be nice. Rockingham, absolutely. I wish they kept Rockingham on the schedule. That race is great, but, you know, it's, I don't know why they didn't bring it back. I guess it was an economy thing. I know Eldora's going to get another race, which is nice. I wish there were more dirt races, to be honest with you, but, yeah, I wish Darlington had 2 dates, too. It's a lot of stuff, but, oh, well. Just to deal with the time.
And,
I mean, this is a really rough time for most of us, you know, especially internships. Most of the internships we get now, they're all unpaid. You get a stipend at the end. It's just tough. It's so tough. I mean, it's all based on marketability and connections now than it has ever been, especially, you know, if you have experience in the broadcasting field. I don't even know how to describe it. I don't want to just be too negative, but it's just rough. In a way, I wish I was born in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, you know, financial issues that strikes tracks. And we nearly lost a good track like Iowa, but luckily, you know, NASCAR was able to come in and save it so, you know, it wouldn't go down. And, you know, Rockingham, you know, it's interesting because I interviewed the new president of Gateway Motorsports Park at Kansas Speedway, and one of the things I wished I would have asked him, you know, if they considered or if they did or if he got in touch with some of the people over at Nashville or, you know, some of the people at Rockingham and went over, you know, what or how come they went down so that way they can kind of build up a little bit of barrier right there so if it did happen in Gateway, and you know, or these newer tracks, then that they would be prepared and able to kind of keep it from happening. But you know, that's really unfortunate that Rockingham had to cancel out their schedule just because of, you know, financial trouble. It's like, you know, people say they want North Wilkesboro back, you know, some of these tracks like Rockingham back. The problem is that, you know, when they do come back, no one really supports them, you know. So, you know, people need to support those tracks to keep them alive, you know. That's why we see a lot of people on Twitter now promoting their local short tracks so they can stay in business because, you know, it's hurting those over there too. And it just breaks my heart every time I see a tweet or a post on Facebook or somewhere on social media saying that, you know, a track had closed down because they weren't bringing in much money.
It's sad to see North Wilkesboro because the racing there was really awesome. And now, I mean, even if you go check North Wilkesboro out today, it has not been used. It literally has not been used. Well, of course, the racetrack is completely crap now. But, I mean, in order for the racetrack to be used, they need to fix one. They need to repave the whole darn thing, like, really bad. You know, the grass is overgrowing the surface now. And all the Winston Cup signs that were there are still there. It's kind of like, you know, Jeff Gordon, you know, just won the race, and we're still stuck in the 90s. You know, we're still stuck in 1996, apparently, back in North Wilkesboro. But if someone with a lot of money can do that, and right now there's not a lot of people who are willing to make that investment. But it's unfortunate. It's just the way the times are. I mean, times were rough for that track back in 1996 when the economy was actually pretty strong. So you can just imagine right how it would do right now. It wouldn't work. Like, it wouldn't be – it's not even worth bringing back right now. When it comes to Rockingham, it's rough. And even with my local dirt track, Prescott Valley Raceway, we just brought it back a couple of years ago for racing. And now it's looking like it's going to go down again. And I just got a job there as a broadcaster, so it's like I'm only going to be working for, like, you know, 4 months before I'm unemployed again. So I don't know. It's just – I think the only way we can actually make money, I've got to win ESPN Streak for the Cash and then distribute it to my media friends who are struggling, and then we all can have good jobs. Just bribe people to death.
Yeah. You know, another deal, you know, I was going to get into it. Nah, I'll save that topic for a little bit later. You know, I see a headline here reported by Poplar Speed that Johanna Long is looking to return to NASCAR again, it looks like. Just says that they're trying to find sponsorship that can take her back into the sport. And, you know, another talented race car driver. And, you know, I think right now, I'm not saying that there's a problem with a driver, you know, making their own company. Like, you know, I'm not going to mention names, but, you know, a driver making their own company just so they can keep a ride in the sport. But, you know, it seems like, Ryan, that the sport of NASCAR now is just kind of like, it's just like, you know, if you have money, you can run a race car. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but, you know, it leaves a lot of talented race car drivers, you know, out of it. And we all know that Johanna Long, you know, is a really talented race car driver, but, you know, just can't bring in the funding. It's all about money these days and not about talent. You know, a perfect example is Jimmy Johnson, who, you know, started out with nothing and was fortunate enough to find a ride with Hendrick Motorsports, and looked like he did. You know, he went on to win 6 championships and looking for a 7th this year, you know, and it's just kind of something that NASCAR kind of like that these days.
Well, with Jimmy Johnson going for a 7th, well, I don't think he's going to get 7 this year. You know, I think NASCAR intentionally made the system as complicated as it would just to prevent Jimmy Johnson from getting 7. You know, that's just my opinion. I mean, NASCAR was obviously afraid of it. And I think that I think Brian France finally realized that the original chase he came up with and all the points revisions and all that, it didn't work. It made it really easy for one person to just, you know, figure out a system and just dominate. Now, for Jimmy Johnson, yes, he is a 6-time champion. We have to call him that because that's how it is now. But if things were, you know, the old way, Jimmy Johnson would be a 3-time champion. I mean, still a champion, a 3-time champion. But I think, you know, 6-time champion, it's completely overblown because, you know, we're talking about a 36-race season or a 34-race season. You know how it was in the 90s for the most part, compared to a 10-race season. You know, you can say Tony Stewart, you know, in 2006, for example, he didn't make the chase, but, you know, he won like 3 to 4 races in the final 10 races. And so if you look at the final point standings for the year, I think Tony Stewart would have been in the top 4 or 5. But because he wasn't in the chase, you know, it looks like, you know, he had a horrible year. And so he's got a horrible reputation from that. You know, you look at, I think 2010, I think it was, or 2011, Jimmy McMurray actually would have been in the top 10 as well, but because he didn't make the chase, it made him look bad. And same with Kyle Busch. Jeff Gordon had a rough 2012. He would have finished outside the top 10 if it weren't for the, you know, race Richmond, the chase, and all that. I don't know. I think NASCAR tried to play too much of NBA. You know, and now they're copying NCAA's, you know, March Madness, you know, Final Four knockout, whatever. You know, for NASCAR's brand, they like to come up with new and fresh ideas. I mean, this idea isn't really fresh. It's reconfigured, is what I call it, because they're reconfiguring another sport, which, honestly, the points reset for the final race, it is going to cause so much controversy. Because, for example, you can win every single chase race. You can't. I mean, it's possible. And you can go in the final chase race and get wrecked, and then you lost. Literally, that can't happen. Will it happen? Probably not. But the fact that it's possible is just irritating.
Yeah, you know, it's so hard to, you know, explain an opinion on this, kind of, because, you know, they used so many different systems the last couple years. But, you know, one of the things that I don't really like about this new chase system is that it doesn't reward consistency. It's just, you know, I mean, yeah, you got to be consistent, you know, to stay up there to advance each round. But, you know, after each reset, you know, you know, you can just have one bad race and be out of chase. So, you know, but, you know, I'm going to give it a try this year before, you know, I kind of get a full opinion on it. Do I like it? I don't know. But, you know, we'll see. But I think it's going to definitely be interesting, though, to see the fight at the end of the race. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting.
Absolutely. And like I told you, I think, honestly, I think NASCAR misled us just a bit when it came down to, you know, why they made the changes. Honestly, I only heard of a few people who talked about eliminations or making wins matter more. I did not hear anyone talk about, hey, let's make winning, you know, a part of – okay, let me reword that, but you have to win a race to make the chase. I did not hear about that, you know, proposal until it was already decided. Can you agree with me on that? I didn't hear anyone talk about that. I heard about Dante Allen suggested, you know, eliminations. But for the most part, I heard people who, most fans that I know, hate eliminations. So, mm-hmm. You know, I don't really know.
Yeah, you know, you do have a point. You know, I don't think I've seen on my Twitter comment or Facebook comment where anyone said that they're winning, you know, it based on wins. But you know, it's definitely going to be interesting to watch. And so Joseph still has not called in yet. So I guess we'll get into the Sprint Cup Series news. And one thing, you know, I think we could kind of chew on here for a little bit is this topic, and that is, you know, all year long, the television ratings in the Sprint Cup Series have been down. Some people during the All-Star race said that the reason why the All-Star TV ratings was down was because Danica Patrick wasn't racing in it and other stuff like that, you know. What is your opinion on the TV ratings being down, Ryan?
He said again, my speaker went out just a bit.
Television ratings has been down, so in the Sprint Cup Series. So, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
You said television ratings have been down?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the racing has lived up to the hype, but I don't know. You know, it's interesting. I think the racing this year is way better than it was 2011. I believe the television ratings are better than it was in 2010. You know, a lot of the issues, you know, honestly, from my perspective, is we keep changing the product so much. Now, I think we should have stuck with the Gen 4 when we had it. You know, when we switched to Gen 5, you know, we had the car tomorrow. Everybody started to, they started to, like, agree with the hype. Wasn't necessarily that they actually liked the car. They were just trying to, I guess, kiss up to NASCAR. I mean, that was my guess. Because as soon as you badmouth the COT, then the people who were, you know, trying to work their way up in the industry started accusing people of, you know, wanting to see people get hurt. You notice that. Every time you try mm-hmm. to argue against the COT, it's like, oh, you like seeing drivers get hurt? No, it's not about drivers getting hurt. How about we implement the safety in this car, the safety modifications in this car, and put the aero package in the Gen 4? That was my suggestion. So, I mean, just enhance the safety. We don't want to see drivers die. I don't know where people got that from. But, heck, Eric McClure got hurt, Michael Annette got hurt, Denny Hamlin got hurt, and those people are utterly silent. Yes, people get hurt. It's racing. As soon as the COT came out, people thought, oh, No one's ever going to get hurt. Drivers are invincible. I mean, it just, it's just stupid. I mean, that's just the way I saw it. But I like the car now. It's, I don't know. I think that with the, I think the television ratings are going to take a huge hit when we go to TNT. I just do not like the way they broadcast with TNT. I think they need someone more experienced as the play-by-play. You know, I'd like to see I like Kyle Pennywall and Dawn back up there. I don't know. Maybe different camera angles, but I'm not sure. TNT just doesn't seem to have it, but it could be because, you know, they have a much shorter schedule than most of the networks. But next year they won't be there, so that'd be interesting. I'm not sure about next year either. When it comes to NBC, you know, I've known Rick Allen is a great broadcaster. I think we can all agree with that. But I don't know. I'm not trying to, you know, jab at him at all, but his voice, I think it's better for truck racing than it would be for car racing. I don't know. That's just for me. You know, I've been a broadcaster for the last 13 years. I think that truck racing would fit him better. I've never seen Jeff Burton broadcast before. I know that he obviously has the racing experience, you know, winning over 20 races in his career. Steve Letarte, I have no idea what he has. I know he's a Daytona 500 winning crew chief now, so they're going to say that every single broadcast. And please welcome Daytona 500 winning crew chief Steve Letarte. I know that's going to happen, and they're going to, you know, overstate it as they overstate Darrell Waltrip's Hall of Fame career. But for Letarte, I'm not sure. I've known him, you know, as a Hendrick Motorsports employee since I was, you know, very little, a small child. So I never thought he was going to make that move, but it'd be interesting. But going back to TV quality, I honestly have no answer because, you know, attendance is down. We're having problems putting fans in the seats. Economy is a big reason for that. Another reason that TV is down is, I don't know, people can't afford television costs. I'm not sure. NASCAR's kind of running out of excuses on this one. But, I mean, if we just stick to what we have now and improve on it without, you know, fundamentally changing the racing, which is what they're proposing with the, you know, with the cut in horsepower and everything, that's not going to help. So that's just my two cents.
You know, and you bring up a good point about NBC coming back next year. You know, a lot of people don't have NBC Sports Network or their cable companies don't offer it. And so, you know, I think, you know, and I don't have it either. You know, luckily my mom has DirecTV, so I'm able to access the live stream on NBC Sports Extra, so I'll still be able to cover NASCAR next year. But, you know, I mean, it's going to be interesting there as well to see, you know, what happens. You know, I would imagine that a lot more cable companies will pick up the channel, but, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting, you know, right there. And TNT, you know, luckily I just mute the TV and I get my commentary from MRN and PRN radio, but yeah, you know, they could show more of the racing, you know. I watched the live, you know, leaderboard pretty much for every race since 2011, and, you know, it's always going nuts back and forth, changing the positions, but, you know, TV just doesn't show the racing, you know. I mean, I think it was reported earlier this year a couple times, Ryan, that, you know, I forgot what the statistics chart is called, but isn't it called something about quality passes or something like that that's been up recently according to NASCAR statistics? I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, that's been up.
Oh, like NASCAR-nomics or whatever?
Not Nomics, it's the NASCAR statistical package from NASCAR, I can't remember what it's called. It's like quality green flag passes or something like that.
Yeah, well, I know there was a guy that actually ran his own website covering statistics, and then NASCAR decided, you know, They don't want him doing that anymore, so they're not going to allow him to do it. So now it's like Racingnomics. I know about that. So, and unfortunately, it's clear that NASCAR, is. I mean, if NASCAR did, I don't even know how to say this, but without offending somebody, but NASCAR cares about, well, I mean, it's obvious that NASCAR cares about their image. That is why, they fined Denny Hamlin, when he made comments about the Gen 6, which, by the way, were not derogatory. He just made suggestions. Ryan Newman's comments, if you take a look at the Fox News interview Brian France had, based off his procedure that he talked about for finding a driver, Ryan Newman should have been fined for that too. I mean, during his interview after wrecking at Talladega when Kurt Busch, flipped up in the air, that would have been it. But NASCAR is turning into the NBA. If you notice in the National Basketball Association, one player says, "Oh, I felt that the officiating tonight was rather bad," but I mean, even if it's the slightest thing, even if you're positive in the interview and you mention one bad thing about the refs, you get fined like $30,000 just for that. And in NASCAR now, if you make a statement that NASCAR doesn't agree with, you're going to get fined. But not only that, but secretly. So it's a little different. In the NBA, we know about it. NASCAR, we find out about it after. We complain after a certain time.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And, as we're touching on the penalties, this year's penalty system actually has been pretty good. They've been pretty consistent with the penalties. So, that's a good thing to see over in NASCAR. But, it still could be improved on.
Like you say again?
About the penalties, this year, it's been pretty consistent, with the penalties and all that. But, there's still some things that they could improve on to make it better.
I agree. I mean, there's always things that we can improve, but we got to take one step at a time. And, that's just the way it is. So, it takes a lot of patience. NASCAR has obviously been very inconsistent over the years, and I think they're actually legitimately trying to, fix it now. After the arm itching incident at Richmond, it really damaged NASCAR's reputation, and that's when NASCAR really started to pay attention to, how the rulings go. So we'll see, but you never know until Richmond. Team orders are going to be in play, and we'll see if anyone tries to do something sneaky.
That was just crazy.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the replay, I was like, he totally did it on purpose, and then it turned out to be true. Because be honest with me here. When they showed Michael Waltrip standing on pit road. And he looked, his face, did you see his face when he was on pit road?
I don't think I did.
Well, he looked like he was frozen, and he just had this really weird look on his face. I'm like, why does he look so scared? I mean, everybody just had this weird look on their face, and yeah. That's just how I saw it.
Trying to help a teammate, into a chase, but, they took it way too far.
What, can you say that again?
I was just saying that, I don't have a problem with, another driver, helping their teammate, but what Michael Waltrip did last year was just way too far. They shouldn't have done to do it.
Letting your teammate go by, like, hey, I'm going to let you have this spot, that's fine. But manipulating the whole race, no, that's bad. That's not. That's completely bad.
And, I think that's another reason why, NASCAR changed the chase system so you can't manipulate it as easy as, you know, and there's guys, you know, Chad Knauss, you know, he's a great crew chief, but, you know, some of these people, they just sit and do nothing but strategize for races and, you know, and try to figure out loopholes in the things. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, though. I mean, if you want to win a championship and want to be, you know, a race-winning contender, you know, you have to do those things, though. I mean, you know, you have to push the limits. As we saw last year, you know, the 48 car kept failing pre-inspection for qualifying and was late in the line several times. And, you know, because they were being innovative and trying to, you know, push the limits, which you have to do these days in order to win races.
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR kind of puts them in that box, but at the same time, they had new procedures for the inspection this year so that, you know, there wouldn't be as, you know, many failed inspections as there was last year. And then Jimmy Johnson was caught on the first, during the first test, I guess you call it a test session. I call it a test session during the initial inspection of the new process. And ironically, the 48 car is the first one busted.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting. Hey, here's another topic that we can chew on, and hopefully Joseph will be joining us soon so we can get into Dover preview since he'll be there for us. But, you know, our next, the Roush Fenway stuff, you know, was rumored that Greg Biffle was going to leave Roush, which I was kind of shocked by because we were all expecting it to be Carl Edwards, but still could possibly leave Roush also. But, you know, Trevor Bayne gets called up to drive the number six full-time for the racing team. And, you know, it's going to be interesting following this because, you know, yeah, two potential drivers who could be leaving the organization and join some others. So your thoughts?
Oh, you said it again, sorry.
Trevor Bayne got signed on full-time to drive number six in 2015, and then Greg Biffle leaving Roush, which are rumors, speculations right now. But, you know, I think we're all expecting Edwards to leave Roush. So both drivers could possibly be leaving the organization. I just kind of wanted some of your thoughts on it.
Well, for Trevor Bayne, you know, it's obviously a great time because, you know, he's finally got a full-time ride in the Sprint Cup Series after waiting all those years. I don't know what's going to happen to Wood Brothers now. Now they lost Bayne. It's going to be interesting to see what their future has, what the future, you know, what they have in store. You know, I'm not sure about the future of Roush Fenway, to be honest with you. It seems like it's on a path similar to Robert Yates and how they went down, and now that they're technically Front Row Motorsports now because, you know, they got Gillen, the 38, and all that. But I'm just not sure about that team. Roush has been notorious for, you know, a lot of layoffs and having a lot of problems with sponsors. Now they add Bayne, right? They have a nationwide program. They got Buescher and Bayne right now. But their Sprint Cup program isn't doing as well as it used to. I mean, if you look at 2005, they were a powerhouse. And, I'm just not sure. I think Carl Edwards could be on the way out here. I'm not sure where he's going to go. I think Edwards will probably end up as a third car at Team Penske. But they're going to have to cut a lot to help Bayne out. And I know that doesn't make much sense. But if they have Bayne, Biffle, Stenhouse, and Edwards all in the same, they're not going to be able to do well financially. And heck, they're not even doing well financially, you know, with Bayne not even driving the six car right now. So it's going to be interesting. I'm skeptical.
I am too. You know, Edwards, you know, a couple years back, Aaron Olsen is going to go Joe Gibbs, but apparently Ford put in a lot of money to keep him over there. You know, I think he's going to be on the way out. Where he's going to go, I have no idea. You know, he could go with Joe Gibbs or Michael Walter Grayson would be the only two teams that would really make sense to me of him going. And, you know, I don't – RCR currently runs three or four cars now, so, you know, he can't go over there, and he definitely can't go to Hendrick Motorsports. So, you know, whichever one, I have no idea, but, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting. I'm going to say it right now that Edwards is leaving Roush. As far as Biffle and the speculation, you know, that one kind of shocked me a little bit, but, you know, but then yeah, I'm not. So it's definitely going to be interesting as far as these two drivers, where they're going to be racing next year. But, you know, I really do have a feeling that Edwards is starting to get tired of, you know, with the underperformance here lately of Roush and is really wanting to lead the organization.
Unfortunately, you know, Edwards is as positive as he is for the most part. It's time for him to leave Roush. I mean, it's been a good time he's had with Roush for the most part. But you know, Edwards isn't getting any younger. I know that he's a relatively young driver, but you know, his time is dwindling because the youth they're coming here and they're coming with a vengeance. And Carl Edwards is getting to that age where he's not considered a youth anymore. So. You know, he's got to pick up the pace and get there. I mean, the chances and the opportunities in NASCAR are dwindling by the second. It's age. They're looking for younger guys. And it's just financially, it's just too rough for most of these teams to even make moves. Same thing with Hendrick Motorsports. You got Chase Elliott coming through the ranks. Jeff Gordon is not leaving. Anytime soon, you know, now that his daughter started to drive quarter midgets, he's going to be ready. I mean, I heard him say something around the lines. He's probably going to be racing for a lot longer. Jimmy Johnson, they're not going to get rid of him. He makes too much money. He's a good driver. Dale Jr., it's Dale Jr. He's not going anywhere. And unfortunately, I think Casey Kane's going to be the odd man out here. Even though you've got older guys than Jr., Johnson, and Gordon ahead of him, Casey Kane has not been performing on a consistent manner. And, of course, Gordon has a lifetime contract, so I think they're going to give up. I think the five car is going to go to Chase Elliott here in a year or two, but I believe Chase Elliott is going to run another year of Nationwide, so Kane has one more year to prove that he belongs to Hendrick. He hasn't been bad, but, I mean, just performance-wise, it's you can win a couple of races here and there, but, you know, the consistent finishes of outside the top 20 are just killing his prestige and his morale. I've talked to him in the past. He said that the problem he has is when he has a bad run, his confidence gets really bad. And, you know, that's exceptionally visible when he has, you know, consistent runs where there's something always going wrong with the car.
And, you know, we currently see it in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series here recently where, you know, the field, you know, seems like it's just been short. You know, I believe at Kansas there was only 31 trucks that raced, and then last week at Charlotte, or a couple weeks ago, I guess it was at Charlotte, we saw 33, and then this week we're seeing 35, so... You know, pretty interesting right there. And, you know, this week we almost get a full field, but because the 7 no longer runs, you know, we're short one truck. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, maybe NASCAR made a little bit of a mistake of letting the younger drivers run, but you know, that's pretty interesting as well when you look at it from, you know, the younger driver perspective.
I agree with you. It'll be interesting to see what happens. What the federal government does and how things go, what our nation gets involved in, it impacts every part of our lives, even if you don't see it. It impacts NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think we're now joined by Joseph. Um, whoever 3
Ghost
of
the Ghost. Hello, Ghost.
He is a ghost from New York who likes to write about NASCAR.
Or is it Mason Mitchell?
Or maybe it's Mason Mitchell. I don't know. I don't hear anything. It's a ghost.
I don't know who it is, but maybe Tim.
Well, apparently they're very silent and very shy.
Okay, well, maybe they put the phone down just for a second, but kind of out of topic, so...
Okay.
Is there anything you want to discuss?
What?
Is there anything you want
what?
To talk about?
Well, picks for Dover. I got the 48 winning. Not going too much on the limb there, but Jimmy Johnson's coming in with momentum, and he's the all-time leader in wins at Dover, so I had to go with the 48.
So, you know, I think, I don't know. I think this weekend's definitely going to be interesting as far as who's going to win. You know, you got Johnson that's so good at Dover, so I think that's my pick to win as well.
Yep, it'll be interesting. That's for sure.
So, you want to go ahead and give your pick for the Truck Series and Nationwide Series as well?
Well, let me take a look at who's actually racing in the entry list here. You can't go wrong with the 54, but, we want to be a little bit more original than that. Because there's always a chance. I mean, there's only 2 Nationwide Series races this year, so... kind of low. I mean, it's kind of low for this time of the year for Kyle. But let's take a look, folks. Yeah, Kyle Busch is going to be driving the 54. I honestly, if it's not Kyle Busch winning, I think that it's going to be a battle between the 22 and the 42. You're going to see Joey Logano and Kyle Larson battling for the win. If the 54 is on his game, then Kyle Busch will probably win. He's very strong at this track, but Kyle, this is the bigger version of Bristol, and Kyle Larson runs pretty well at Bristol, so Kyle Larson is our underdog, despite the fact that, he really shouldn't be, but with the way the Nationwide Series is set up, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see, as far as the Nationwide race this weekend, but, I'm going to say that, it's going to come down to either Joe Logano or Kyle Busch. Both drivers, had success here previously. And I think it's going to be one of those two drivers.
Wait, what?
I think it's going to come down to between either Joe Logano or Kyle Busch as far as the drivers to win this weekend.
If it goes down between Logano and Busch, I think Logano has the upper hand. He's beaten him here in the past. Not exactly in clean ways, but, you go past history. I think that he's got Logano will win.
And actually, I identified who the 336 number is, and it's Steven, and he kind of went and jumped in here, I think. So go ahead, Steven.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm just listening here for a little bit. I'm just going to go ahead and put my picks in. Joey Logano will probably win the race just based on last couple of races. He's been pretty dominant out there. As far as the Nationwide and the Truck Series, might as well just chalk it up in the Nationwide Series. Kyle Busch is going to win that one, and I'm pretty sure that he'll win the truck race too.
You have the same idea as I had, and sorry I didn't identify you. I was like, who's the 336? There you go.
Yeah, no, that's fine, man. I figured I would text you and let you know that I was going to jump in here real quick on that. But yeah, I thought I'd put my 2 cents in on who's going to win this week.
Thank you, and I guess have a great night, and thank you for jumping in.
Yeah, man, y'all have fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, see you, man.
Okay, so anyway, we were kind of going to our picks, and Steven kind of threw in his Truck Series pick, but, you know, Ryan, can you talk a little bit about your Truck Series picks this week in that Dover?
Well, the trucks. Well, Truck Series is very interesting because, you know, you could always have this, there's always the unknown factor, especially when we come to Dover, because off turn two, if there's any like kind of squirrely position, squirreliness going on in turn two, it's very hard to slow down. You see it in the Sprint Cup Series, right? There's a crash. Just the way the track is set up off turn two, it is almost impossible to slow down and avoid a crash. So I think that qualifying position is crucial. That's going to be one key aspect. If you qualify up front at Dover, most times you're going to have a good race. You know, depending if you don't have a flat tire, don't get your truck on the apron, that could always be bad. Now Jake Crummy, I mean Crum, just had to do that. But yeah, he's going to be racing. I don't think him and Ryan Ellis are going to be running anywhere near each other. At least I hope not. I mean, yeah, there's only 34 cars even registered for the race, which is really low for a truck race, from my memory. Usually there's at least 37 trucks in there, but it would be interesting to see how Cole Custer fares. I remember watching his K&N race and seeing Greg Galding just go down there and wreck him on the last lap, pretty much on purpose, by the way. So we mentioned Jeff Burton's gonna have a strong race. Timothy Peters will get a top three. Galding, I'm not so sure. I think he'll get a top 15. Ryan Blaney, I mean, anything can happen here. Ben Rhodes, Ben Kennedy, all the Bennies. You got Steve Turner and Harry Scott going at it. But you know, you can't go wrong with Kyle Busch. I mean, that's unfortunate. But hey, Darrell Wallace. Might have a shot too. So, you know, anything can happen.
You know, and I'm looking down actually at the starting lineup, and you know, there's 35 trucks on the starting lineup. So unless someone is gone, but you know, I look at several. You know, as you mentioned, Kyle Busch, Matt Crafton, Timothy Peters. You know, those drivers are going to have a strong day for sure. You know, as well as Johnny Sauter. But there's one driver, you know, I think everyone's overshadowing going in this weekend, and that is Ramon Quiroga. You know, he didn't have a good season last year, was really inconsistent, you know, every week. But then goes in here into 2014 with, you know, a lot of momentum. And you look at with Timothy Peters as well, you know, that team is going to be a threat for a championship because they've been running very well here recently, and in case for those of you that don't know, Ramon Quiroga, you know, despite having bad qualifying runs here lately and not getting very good starting positions, and you know, his best starting spot this year was eighth, and then is going to start fourth tomorrow because of the, you know, lineup being by owner points. But you know, I mean, Ramon Quiroga has definitely had one huge, consistent season going for him so far, and he's the only driver finishing inside the top 10 in the first five or so races this year. So, you know, I think he's going to be a contender this weekend as well. And, you know, you got the rookie drivers like Ben Rhodes, Cole Custer, as you said. You know, those drivers have a lot of experience on these short tracks from the Canada Pro Series. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how those drivers are going to do this weekend on a track like Dover, you know, a track where they've ran here previously.
You know, from my perspective, I think Dover's a harder track to race on than Charlotte, you know, just depending, you know, it's concrete. It's like you're going down a hill into turn one, and then you're going up, and then it's a hard track. And so I think in that aspect, it can be harder than Charlotte. I know Charlotte's a mile and a half, and there's faster speeds. But I think it's easier. I think it's way easier to wreck, especially off turn two. If you get a little tight, the wall can bite you on the exit. So now that Jake Crum is racing in this race, and you know he troubled Charlotte, so I'm unsure about his chances to be successful at Dover.
Yeah, you know, I think it's definitely going to be interesting. And while we're talking about Dover, we are joined by Joseph Wilkin, who will be in Dover this weekend for Speedway Digest, and he will also be at Pocono Raceway next week as well for Speedway Digest. And welcome, Joseph.
How you doing, Brett? He's going.
Hey,
on
Bretterly.
He's writing Hebrew to everyone. Do you believe this kid?
I'm not going to be doing that very long, but, you know, I just do it just so I could poke fun with Joseph. And actually, I was really confused because I didn't know Hebrew. They write it
right
from the
left.
Right to the left and not from the left to the right.
Yeah, it's because it's an Aramaic language. We're very different from everyone else. Now, talking about Jake Crum, I heard Ryan talking about him, and he's going to run this weekend, and basically what he's trying to do is get his NASCAR license back for the 1.5-mile tracks and over, and this was a last-minute deal for SS Greenlight Racing. He was very, very upset when I spoke to him about the whole situation of Ryan Ellis, and I also spoke to Ryan Ellis, and he was extremely mad as well. And he feels like NASCAR did the right thing by suspending his license. And as long as he races even 5 laps this weekend, he'll be able to race at the larger tracks, even though he doesn't have sponsorship to run any larger tracks this year.
The interesting part about that is that they're saying if he runs five laps, then it's okay. Well, what if he wrecks in lap 6? How about if you finish the whole race without wrecking another truck, then you can get the license? Completing 5 laps, I mean, come on, a monkey could do that.
Well, that's just how NASCAR rules are, I guess. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a matter of just getting on track, really. Because his side of the story was different from just intentionally wrecking. He claimed that something broke in his, I believe it was his right front toe-in, and that messed up the car when he was side-drafting Ryan Ellis on the back stretch. He couldn't keep it straight, and that's why he drove into him. Is it believable? Not so much, though.
Oh, I mean, it's kind of like when Antonio Margarito claimed that he had no idea that there was a plaster of Paris in his hand wraps, and that he wasn't paying attention when his coach was wrapping his gloves. So you can only imagine, like, the hysterical reaction I had from that. Same thing with this. It's like, oh, yeah, oh, no, I have something broke in my truck. Something broke in my truck. Oh, I turned left. Oh, no, I actually hit Ryan Ellis. What do you know?
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, you know, as I discussed earlier, you know, we don't – unfortunately, NASCAR doesn't let the fans get the tournament tree for the Truck Series or the Nationwide Series, so, you know, we can't go in and see, you know, what happened with the throttle and the brake or whatnot. But, you know, I in my opinion, I think it was an intentional deal. But, you know, then again, we don't know the story, so, you know, I guess I can't really go out and say that.
Well, you know what? You could go on SpeedwayDigest.com because I have quotes from both of them, something no other writer in the NASCAR industry did.
Okay, well, I guess you can do that. And now we're joined by a 570 zip code, and I think it's Kyle.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Kyle Maybe, what's going on, bro?
You know, same old man.
All right. Well, we still got some time here that we need to chew before we're joined by Mason Mitchell. But, Kyle, you was in Pocono this past Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember.
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday for spring pursuit testing. You know, why don't you talk about it with us for a little bit?
Yeah, before I get into that, I know Stephen came on and gave his 2 cents about his Dover picks, and before I talk about the Pocono test, I'm going to put my 2 cents in. I think for Sunday, I'm going to take Jimmy Johnson just because his track record is outstanding there. He probably could have won both races last year. I know he won in the fall, and I know that he won. Well, he didn't win in the spring because of that restart issue, but I'm going to go with Jimmy. And then for the nationwide race, I think I picked Joey Logano. I know it was tough. It was down between him and Kyle Busch, but I went with Logano just because Joey's won the last four there. And I went over with Kyle Larson as well. He was at the Pocono test on Tuesday, and also, you know, he's had good runs at Dover. He was second in the fall. And for the truck race, I'm probably going to go Kyle Busch. I mean, the guy started on the pole the last 2 weeks. He's on the pole tomorrow, even though practice was rained out, forcing to cancel qualifying. So I think I'm going to go Jimmy Johnson on Sunday for the cup race, Joey on Saturday, Joey Logano, and Kyle Busch for the truck race tomorrow.
Interesting. So, you know, you were at Pocono this past weekend, as I said earlier. You know, may give us a little bit of, you know, things on it since we couldn't really follow it.
Yeah, you know, they had a test on Tuesday and Wednesday. I think there were about 12 cup drivers there. There was Jeff Burton, Clint Boyer, and Brian Vickers from Michael Walter Racing were there. Chip Ganassi drivers, Jamie McMurray and Kyle Larson were there also. Also, actually, I'm almost forgetting all the drivers. It's only been 2 days ago. I think Travis Quappa was there with Go Fast Racing. He was in the 14 to test there. Also, I'm not sure. I know Michael Annette was there with Tommy Baldwin Racing because actually Michael Annette and Kyle Larson have never turned a lap at Pocono Raceway. So it was very crucial for them to get tests. Also, I know the RCR bunch was there as well with Austin Dillon, Ryan Newman, and Paul Menard. So, yeah, but, you know, Pocono test was good. You know, I actually got to be in the media center for the when the drivers came in, and we got to see a lot of them. I talked to Jamie McMurray was in there, Jeff Burton, Michael Annette was in there, Ryan Newman, Kyle Larson. I'm trying to think who else. But like I said, it was just a really good experience. You know, I mean, I know, I think Jamie McMurray brought this up. You know, when they come back to Pocono in less than a week, next Friday they start the weekend, and maybe it could rain, so you never know. I mean, this could be crucial track time for these guys testing the last 2 days.
Especially Pocono weather, as we all know.
Yeah, I know. I've had my share of rain delays. It's nothing new.
And we can just blame Matt Weaver for that. Also, you know, we're bringing on Mason Mitchell. I hope I do not call him Mingus when he comes on because I get those two guys mixed up constantly. But, you know, you're also going to New Jersey Motorsports Park this weekend for ARCA Racing Series. So maybe talk a little bit about that and maybe some ARCA stuff leading in that race.
Yeah, you know, this is the only time of the year that ARCA will be racing on a road course, turning left and right. Mainly, I mean, at New Jersey Motorsports Park the last couple of years, just to give you a quick preview, I mean, Andrew Ranger's been the guy to beat. He's won the last three there, and he's entered in Saturday's race. And he, like I said, he's probably one of the best road racers out there right now. I know he hasn't shown him much in his only cup start at Watkins Glen back in 2011, but like on the K&N East and West side in ARCA, he's just been unbelievable. If he didn't win the race, he was close. He was in the hunt to win it. So I think right now he's probably the guy to beat. Also, some other guys. I know, of course, Mason Mitchell's running, and you know, Mason's had a really good year so far, joining his new team, actually working with his family team. You know, he almost won Toledo and just finishing second to Justin Boston. He had a really good weekend there. He fastest in both practices, won the pole, and almost had Justin Boston there at the end. But back to the race, I know for Grant Enfinger, this is going to be his first road course start in about 3 years, which was actually at New Jersey Motorsports Park back in 2011 for Allgaier Motorsports. So You know, I mean, there's going to be some drivers you're going to want to keep your eye on. I mean, Tom Hesser, this is a home game for him. He's from New Jersey. He's from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And he finished second in last year's race. So definitely, I think he might have won the pole as well. But I think for him, this is a big home game for him. Also, I know there was another guy. His name is Brian Wong. I think he's a Chinese-American. He actually drove this race last year. Had a good qualifying position. Started in the back and finished seventh. So... And one more guy I want to bring up before I forget is Michael Self. You may have remember him from the Canaan West side last couple of years with that Golden Gate Racing team. He's actually going to race on Sunday for Venerini Motorsports. It'll be his second start of the year. He tested with Venerini at a couple tracks, I think at Daytona last December. And also, it'll be his second start of the year. His other one, I think, was at Mobile back in March. So I think ARCA, you know, has been a pretty good series this year so far. You know, I mean, it's nice with ARCA that you have all these tracks they go to. I mean, they don't go to short tracks. They go to road courses, super speedways, dirt tracks. They go all over. So, you know, I think it's a really competitive series, and it's nice that they have all the variety of racetracks on their schedule.
Oh, I think so, you know. We look at, you know, the ARCA Racing Series, you know, we just offer coverage for the, you know, the, whatever you want to call it, for the, whenever they race with NASCAR, but, you know, I mean, it's really of a neat racing series because, you know, as you say, you got your dirt tracks, you got your road courses, you have your super speedways and all kinds of things, you know, it's kind of fun that we wish NASCAR had, and they don't, but, yeah, you know, it's a really neat, diverse series, and, you know, they've been doing pretty well this year. You know, the race has been really good, and it's great to see, but, you know, hopefully it continues that way and stays around for a while.
Yeah, definitely, and I just want to add something. You know, I mean, I've seen so many names come through the series over the years. I've been to every Pocono ARCA race since 2007. I've seen Michael McDowell come up through there, Landon Castle, Justin Allgaier, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Scott Speed, Justin Lofton, Parker Kligerman. There's a lot. I've seen Chase Elliott race there. I've seen Eric Jones, Corey LaJoy. I've seen them all. I've seen Chet Hockenbrough. I've seen Ty Dillon, Tim George Jr. I've seen all of them. I mean, it's nice to see that they're coming up through these series and seeing like a guy like Ty Dillon dominate an ARCA and now, you know, what he's doing in Nationwide. It's just outstanding. It's just incredible that what he's doing, what he did in ARCA now, and then he went to the trucks and Nationwide. He's up to that level now.
Yeah, and it's really interesting when you go to these races. You can see which car is most dominant, and a lot of times it's not who you expect. I remember years ago, back in the mid-2000s, you had Chad McCombie running up front in that Mod Space number one car. So you never know what's going to happen, especially a track like Pocono. But at the road course this weekend, like you guys said, Andrew Ranger, you can't go against him. He's done very well in the Nationwide starts with his own team. It doesn't get, and he barely has any funding to begin with. But one guy I want to look at is Michael Lira. I think he's going to have a good weekend as well as Kyle Benjamin. Kyle Benjamin is he just signed a deal with Roush Fenway Racing, a development deal, and he's running with the Rollo Brothers. And they're one of the bigger ARCA teams, even though they don't have funding for the full year. And he doesn't have much experience in the ARCA series, but you know what? He has two wins last year, and that's enough experience for them.
Yeah, and I think what you were saying about Kyle Benjamin and Michael Lira, this is actually their first road course series starts ever. They have never raced on a road course in ARCA, so I'm really going to be interested to see on Sunday how they perform.
Yeah, I think they're both going to do well. Because you look at the entry list, there are not many competitive cars. There are only about 15 competitive cars in the ARCA Racing entry list, which isn't that great. But you know what? Last year you saw only a handful of guys be really competitive. And I think you're going to have a little more than that this year.
It's interesting to see the road course, especially the first turn. That's going to be, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, we see a nationwide race in the first turn. The road course race is usually the most treacherous. I can't imagine ARCA cars going through a road course.
It's very interesting, to say the least.
There's going to be, I'm going to predict, there's going to be an 8-car accident. At least 8 cars are going to wreck and be out of the race on lap one.
I'll let you know what happens, Ryan, but I just wanted to add what you were saying. There was actually, I think ARCA ran at Road America last year, and I think Austin Dillon actually ran a rare appearance. And I remember, I think Chase Elliott got into Austin in turn one and spun him out. But, I mean, I think on the last lap, Chris Buescher was running for the Rulo Brothers, you know, now with Ralph Shenway Nationwide, running third. And I think Chase Elliott and Andrew Ranger got together, and then I think Chris Buescher came on top. So, you know, just the craziness, the unpredictability of road course racing in these lower tier series.
All right. We are now joined by our guest, Mason Mitchell, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right. So we were just discussing the ARCA Racing Series just a little bit here. And, you know, could you just talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things you do before going into, you know, a road course, since, you know, this is the only one ARCA Racing Series this year, so maybe just kind of give us a little preview of what you go through before going to a road course, because, you know, we were discussing that the first turn seems always treacherous, so maybe just talk a little bit about being in the, how do you prepare going into it, into one whenever you don't have very many on the schedule.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be my second attempt at a road course. I had one last year, and it was kind of short-lived with running out of fuel. And I was running pretty well at the time. Just a misfortune there with not calculating the fuel mileage right, apparently. But you know, this weekend is going to be my second road course. I'm looking forward to it with my own team, and got a really good race car going there, and we tested at Virginia International Raceway the other day with a lot of NASCAR teams, and so I've got to learn a little bit of going right and left at the same time, and yeah, it's definitely going to be different. I'm looking forward to it, though, and looking forward to learning a lot and getting behind guys like Andrew Ranger. They got the experience there, but I'm going to treat it just like every other weekend and go with the attitude of winning the race. So we have high expectations, but I'm looking forward to going right this weekend.
All right, and we're going to take it through our panelists for questions. You know, please keep it to three, but I'm going to pass it over to co-host Joseph.
Now, Mason, thanks for coming on again. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
And now, you finished second at Toledo, and you finished third at Mobile this year with a pair of seventh-place finishes at Daytona and Salem, along with a fourth-place finish at Talladega. You guys are very close to sealing the deal. Can you get it done this weekend at the road course?
That's going to be the hardest one. Hardest challenge all year, I believe, just of being able to win. I mean, I feel like we're going to be competitive. It's just going to be hard to knock off the road course ringers, but, you know, nothing great comes easy. So, you know, I feel like we're going to go there with a good car and just going to learn a lot. And the goal is to win the race, and we'll do everything we can and maybe play a little bit of strategy. But, you know, after this race, I'm really looking forward to getting Pocono. We're going to have a really nice race car there. So, you know, I feel like we can get it done, but you never know. It's road course racing.
Now, what's been the biggest struggle this year starting your own team after running for Empire Racing for the majority of last year?
You know, honestly, the race weekend is the easiest part, because everything's all together and ready to go, and just get behind the wheel and drive it and deal with that kind of things. But the hardest part's just been getting stuff built and managing everything and the logistics side of things, and kind of like stepping up to the plate and taking this all on. You know, there's a lot of hard days and a lot of stress involved, but you know, I wouldn't be ready. There's nothing else in the world that I wouldn't be doing. So this is what I love to do, and I'm looking forward to every single day I get to do it. So. Yeah, tomorrow we're going to go on the road to New Jersey and get up there and settle in.
All right, thanks, Mason. I'll put you on to Ryan now.
Hey, Mason, it's Ryan. How you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm all right. My question for you is, you know, being a part of the youth movement here, moving up in the racing world, you know, how hard has it been for you to obtain a sponsor?
I mean, it's definitely hard. It's a tough environment out there with, you know, the way that the economy is right now, per se, and the way that you got to create business, and you got to have a lot of creativity and some uniqueness behind yourself as a driver, you know, personality and charisma, and definitely have a cool way of going about things, and kind of surround yourself with good people too. And we got a really good marketing staff here, and we're always looking to get the next thing going, you know, with being creative and stuff. So it's definitely hard. We've had some pretty nice relationships over the years with some different companies, and you know, we're always trying to create more and get to that next level. So it's hard, but you know, it's still out there, and you're still able to get done. You just got to do a lot of hard work.
Okay, my final question. Thank you, by the way, for answering the first one. My second question would be, you know, now with marketability and connections being a huge part of moving up in the ranks, what do you personally? What do you have to work on to make sure that you know, as to be a huge asset for the future? You know, what is it you have to do to work on?
I feel like, you know, I gotta, you know, personally, you know, just gotta perform the best I can on the racetrack, and you know, just prove myself of I'm a winning driver, and I can get this job done out there that I'm supposed to be doing. But I'm also supposed to be, I feel like I need to be a role model for kids coming up, and a role model in general in life for anybody with, you know, attitude of never giving up, and be a spokesperson for any type of charity cause or any type of sponsorship or marketing activation that's going on. You know, you've got to be just a really well-rounded person if you want to be the elite athlete in this business. You know, there's, you know, a lot of people you have to deal with and make happy every single day. So, you know, and my life, my goal is, you know, I want to be the best race car driver I can be, but, you know, I want to be a role model outside of the sport, I guess, to say, too. I want to be the person that, you know, a lot of people can look up to, and I want to take motorsports, I guess, to the next level.
All right, thank you. And, Kyle, before we have to go back to work, he's going to take the next question here.
All right.
Hey, Mason, it's Kyle Magda. How are you?
Good, you?
Yeah, I'm good. Hey, I know we had you on the Fan for Racing show a few weeks ago. You just came off that top five out of Talladega, and my question for you is, actually I have two questions for you, is can you just explain to me how well your Toledo race weekend went? And my second question for you is, what are you looking for the most to gain out of New Jersey Motorsports Park this weekend?
Yeah, our Toledo weekend was a pretty good weekend. We just we dominated the whole weekend pretty much, except for just came one spot short in the race. We unloaded off the truck, and we were fastest in first practice, backed it up again in second practice, fastest than that. Went out there and qualified and smoked the previous track record and set a new one, won the pole, and you know, really happy with how things were going, and went to the race and led the most laps, and just see a couple little mistakes by everybody. You know, I'm not going to put it on, you know, a certain part of the team. I made some mistakes as a driver. The pit crew just made a couple mistakes, and you know, I got pretty greedy trying to adjust a little bit and giving feedback to my crew chief, Matt Weber, on some things. And we adjusted ourselves out a little bit the first stop, and we got it back there the second stop and drove back up to second and was hunting down the leader. And I just was so aggressive there at the end just because we had really shortened laps and just came up one spot short. And it was really a bummer, you know, just being so fast all weekend and, you know, with the expectations you got to be with the way we dominated the whole weekend and finishing second kind of sucked. So, you know, but we kept our heads up and gained a lot of points on the leader there and moved on to New Jersey. And, you know, New Jersey, I'm just really looking forward to getting the fun experience of road course racing. You know, you don't get to do it every single day. So I'm looking forward to, you know, just going out there having fun and competing for that win.
All right. And actually, I have two more for you, Mason. And actually, one of them, you know, I like giving them crap all the time, but what has it been like working with Tim Clagg as your PR rep?
It's pretty cool. You know, we have a good friendship. we've known each other for a few years, and he does a good job, but, you know, we talk a lot, and I'll have to tell him that you asked him that question, but, yeah, we give each other a good time, once, you know, just messing around a lot, but it's a lot of straightforward business, and we try to get the job done, so it's been a good time.
And my last question is actually not really a question, but is there any sponsors or anyone you'd like to thank before we let you get off here?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my whole career, I couldn't be here without the support of my family and friends. And my dad's been behind me my whole career, and he actually, I just picked him up at the airport today, so he's going to be here for about a month or so and helping me out with the operation. So, you know, I got to thank him, and I had a lot of support from my friends and family over the years, and a lot of good people I've met over the years that have, you know, came to my side when I needed them, and it's been a huge effort by just a lot of people that, you know, I don't remember everybody's names, but just everybody that's had a part of my career. It's been an awesome adventure so far, and definitely had a lot of sponsors over the years, from back local sponsors from Iowa to car dealerships back there, from working with Make-A-Wish to now we're making up to the ARCA series with Thermal Technology Services, helping me out a little bit this year. I got, you know, K1 suits are helping me out. Got a lot of different supports from all over the place, really, and we're always going to be trying to get more support and trying to make everybody else happy and make their business grow. And I'm looking forward to the rest of my career, and hopefully to make a lot of noise.
All right, well, thank you for taking time out for coming on tonight, and we certainly love to have you back on in the future, so just let Justin know, because you're more than welcome to come on any time, and thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. You guys have a good night.
You too.
All right, so pretty interesting stuff right there from Mason Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, this kid is really on the verge of a breakout year. He was doing a lot with a small team last year, Vampire Racing, a team owned by Sean Core, who actually drives a yellow school bus here in Long Island when he's not racing. So that's pretty cool to have him on the show. And he's a very nice guy, Mason. So I interviewed him a few weeks ago, and he told me, listen, I left that team. I had offers from other teams, but the main reason I left was because I want to do this on my own, and I want to prove to people I could win races. And he feels like that if he does it on his own and he's in charge of everything himself, he'll be able to do that more than he would while under the control of another team.
Yeah, you know, I think it's pretty awesome what he's doing. You know, he's not very old and already owning his own racing team. But not just that, but he's having really good success with it. So, you know, it's certainly interesting, and he's definitely going to have a future in NASCAR. And you know, just by him owning a racing team now, I won't be surprised if he'll be owning one for many years to come as well.
Yeah, sort of like what Ben Kennedy is doing in the K&M Pro Series East. He right now owns Kenzie Lustin's car. Instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to get rid of my team, no, he's going to help someone out. And that's what racing is about. I think we need to see more of the guys like Mason Mitchell, more of the guys like Ben Kennedy. And I spoke to Mason about this. I'm like, what are you going to do when you move up the ranks with your team? He's like, I want to help some development drivers. And I think that's really great because he's getting an alliance with Roush Yates Engines now, and it's going to help him in the long term. And like he said, he has a strong car for Dover. The Fords are very strong at Dover, especially with that FR9 engine. So you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and remember Carl Edwards, you know, had a lot of help when he was moving up as well. And then we saw him trying to help the smaller teams. So it goes both ways, and as you know, as far as respect and getting help.
You have to remember Carl Edwards, he was with the Mittler brothers. It was more of them helping him, if anything. because he didn't have a name for himself, and everyone knows his story about how he tried sneaking in the garage and everything like that and handing out business cards, which we all do now, ironically enough. But I just think that with Carl Edwards, I don't know if you – did you guys talk about Carl Edwards earlier?
No.
No, you haven't spoken about the Carl – all right.
Oh, yes, we have. I forgot.
Oh,
yes,
okay. I'm going to throw my little opinion here, okay? Carl Edwards will only leave that organization if he could go to Joe Gibbs Racing. He is not going to go to Michael Waltrip Racing because Michael Waltrip Racing is not winning races. They're contending for top fives, which he's already doing at Roush Family Racing and doing successfully. And he's in the top five in points, something that both Michael Waltrip cars are not doing at this time. Also, you have to remember, Joe Gibbs Racing is struggling a little bit this year. Even though two of their three drivers have a win, guess what? They're struggling. Kyle Busch is not running the way Kyle Busch should run. Denny Hamlin not running the way Denny Hamlin should run. And guess what? Matt Kenseth is the same way. You have to look at it and say, hey, you know what? You need to be with an organization that you're going to win races with, not just contend for top tens. And I think at Roush Fenway Racing, that's the best opportunity for Carl Edwards right now until something better comes up. And let's face it, the only better thing that's going to come up for him, really, is an opportunity at Joe Gibbs Racing or at Hendrick Motorsports. And Hendrick Motorsports is not having any open seats in the near future because of Chase Elliott.
And, you know, going back to, you know, drivers helping out younger drivers, you know, at Kansas Speedway, you know, I asked Brad in the media center about, Brad Keselowski in the media center about how he's been helping Ryan Blaney and them over in the Sprint Cup Series for his debate. And, you know, one of the things that Keselowski said, and, you know, I've heard him say it before, too, in other media availabilities, that, you know, he's just trying to give back to people what was given to him when, you know, he was a driver coming up in the Nationwide Series. So, you know, I mean, that's cool to see. And, you know, hopefully Mason Mitchell, you know, will do the same thing as well when he gets a little bit older and is running up in the higher ranks of racing series. And as far as, you know, your assessment with Joe Gibbs Racing at Edwards was going to be Roush. You know, I agree with that. You know, I think the only place he would probably go is Joe Gibbs if he was going to make a jump from to another team.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the good thing about what Mason Mitchell's doing is he's teaching himself about the business of the sport. He's getting sponsors on his own with the help of Tim Clegg. And together, they're doing this successfully, really. They're starting to get a lot of funding for this little team. And he told me, hey, I go into the shop 5 o'clock in the morning to work out for guys. Not many drivers in the ARCA series or K&N series do that. They don't go. Some of them don't even go work out with their teams, let alone talk to them. I mean, Chase Elliott, until he graduated, guess what? He's barely been at the Hendrick Motorsports shop because he's been in school, really, and a lot of these guys are in school, so they don't have time to get to know their crews, and that's very essential.
Yeah, and, you know, back to Carl Edwards, I think that he might give Team Penske a shot. Team Penske has talked about having a third car, but I'm not sure. It depends if they give out the same harness or not. If Joe Gibbs has another open spot, it's very possible that Jim Gibbs will give the cup spot to Hornish and not Carl Edwards. So Carl Edwards would have to find something else. So I'm thinking Team Penske.
The only way that Hornish is getting the cup level of Gibbs is sponsorship. They're working to get sponsorship. I interviewed Sam a few weeks ago during the Bristol race weekend. They told me, look, I haven't been testing at all. And that was back then, before the whole fiasco at the Willow Club Speedway. But basically, he hasn't been in the car a lot, even after that win. But he's also going to be competing for that Cup Series spot of Elliott Sadler. Elliott Sadler ran a few Cup Series races last year for Michael Waltrip Racing, filling in when Brian Vickers was sick with blood clots. And I think that right now, if Elliott Sadler goes out there and wins the championship, not finishing second like he has in the past, but wins it, like flat out wins it and wins by a lot, I believe that OneMain Financial will go with him to the Cup Series because it's now, it's really now or never for him. I think Sam Morris Jr. needs full-time racing in Nationwide one more season before he could say, hey, I deserve a full-time Cup ride. Because you're not getting Monster Energy away from Kyle Busch. No way, no how is that going to happen. They're not going to go from Kyle Busch personality to Sam Hornish Jr. It doesn't work like that. They're not going to switch drive. The only reason they're doing this is so that way Sam Hornish Jr. helps them win the Owners' Championship. And it looks like right now, the way that 54 team is running compared to the number 22 team, it's going to be just as close as last year.
I agree.
All right. Well, do you guys have anything left before we wrap her up? Joseph? Ryan?
What did you say? I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
What?
I think a lot of people have been struggling to hear me, and I'm sorry. I guess it's my phone or something, but... Anyway, anything else before we wrap this up?
Nope, just follow Speedway Digest this weekend. I'll be at the racetrack doing plenty of interviews, a couple of surprise ones. I have 3 one-on-one interviews and plenty of content going out for Speedway Digest. I'm looking at my content list right now. You guys are going to love what I have in store for you this weekend.
Sounds good.
Ryan, would you like to give a little closing, maybe where we can follow you on Twitter and all that good stuff?
Well, you can follow me at Ryan Prack O'Hara. Actually, I changed it now. It's O'Hara Sports, O-H-A-R-A, and then sports. If you guys can't spell sports, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just messing with you guys. But, yeah, follow me on there. I was going to do a live broadcast with hockey tonight, but just didn't have enough time, so... And yesterday I tried to, but we were having issues we were having technical difficulties. So also check out my YouTube. It's Future NASCAR Announcer, and then you take off the R. So Future NASCAR Announce, and then all my broadcasts will be there. So should be interesting, folks. And I have a lot of cool stuff for you tonight. However, tomorrow I'll be in Southern California, so I will be out for the day.
Well. Wait, Ryan, one question. Rangers or Canadians?
Yeah. Oh, Rangers.
Canadians?
I hate Canadians.
Good, good. Okay, you're approved. You're coming back on the show, that means.
You can follow me on Twitter at NASCAR_Brett, on Facebook at Brett Mayhem. Due to popular demand on Twitter lately, I will not be at Dover or Pocono. That would be Joseph. I would be at Gateway going about 3 weeks away. And, we had some fun with that there. And I had about 4 people ask me on Twitter if I was going to be in either Pocono or Dover this weekend. And I'm like, nope, Joseph is.
You know what? I got like 5 more followers because of that. So thank you.
But anyway,
I haven't checked,
you know,
but I think I have too many anyway.
you guys ready for Dover? Let's do this.
Monster Mile. Woo!
Anyway, as on that note, thank you, Ryan, for coming on, and my co-host,
Bill.
My co-host.
My name is now Bob the Builder. Oh, you know what, just for you, just for you, Brett, I'll go with my Hebrew name, Yosef.
Bretterly.
you got that, Ryan, from Kyle, didn't you?
Yeah.
I figured so, but anyway, before we get out of hand here. I hope everyone has a great night, and talk to you all next week on the Speedy Digest. Thank you.
Adios.